I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, the podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
Jen, I would ask you how you're doing today, but I know you're doing kind of shitty.
I know, but I also don't want to start off on a complaining note because, the DMs. I don't know, man. It's just this time of life. I think it's like end of summer grief a little bit, you know?
This was on my list of things to discuss with you today.
Oh my God. All right.
It's true. I get very sad about summer leaving. I get very sad because I'm like, summer will end, then the leaves will fall off the trees, then it will be winter forever.
I hear that. Those are very real concerns. Mine are these. Summer will end. My kid will go back to school. It will start being the beginning of an academic, like homework hassling nightmare for me for the next, 9 months. And then summer will end, and yet it will start to be 105 degrees for 3 months.
Yeah, no, I know that happens there.
I won't be able to leave the house. Like, it'll be so hot that it will be, you could fry an egg on the street. And that's just how it will be, basically in a way like winter, because you can't really leave the house. And then it will be like that until basically Thanksgiving.
Right. It's the fires and the heat. It's the fall is really the hell period in Los Angeles, isn't it?
Yeah, it's living inside like a convection oven. It's just so hot. You're baking all the time. And it is also fire season. So what will that look like? There was a lot of rain this year, which you would think would be good, but no, actually bad, because a lot of things grew and now they're all dried out. So there's just like kindling across the hills. And, nice. So yikes, but more it's just for me, that sort of maudlin over the top feeling of, oh fuck, I didn't really do anything this summer. And how many more summers is my kid going to live with me? And how many more summers am I, going to be mobile? And just a waste of a fucking summer, which is a really ridiculous, like sad victim place to be in. But like, I could spiral into it. We were shopping for school supplies yesterday in the Staples. And I was just like, oh, this is it. We're back in pencils and rulers.
Yeah. No, I guess I sort of felt like, so many parents who I follow on social media make such a big deal about when the summer like begins because they're going to have their kids around all the time, that I hadn't thought about the people who were bummed out when summer ends because all sorts of parenting duties click in again.
Well, yeah. And the school owns you. Like the school just... You are just owned by the school. It's just, you're on their schedule. There's just a million phone calls and emails and shit to keep up with. And it's just nonstop responsibility. And, I'm not great with authority. I'm not
you are great with authority. You're really great about letting them know how you feel.
So, you know, it's just, and then it's complications. It's, you know, it's friend groups. It's just in so many ways this summer, when you have an older kid, it's easier. I think that, mm-hmm. I think that what you're talking about is when you have a younger kid, it's like, oh, relief. Like, oh, the school will take them. But when you have an older kid, it's like, oh, now we're back in like, do we have like not an abacus, but whatever the advanced math tools that you need that I never have. Like, it's just, it's a lot of executive functioning. Cause you need to be a partner with the kid, you know?
Yeah. No, it's a lot.
Yeah. Screen time battles, whatever. It's just also the end of summer. Summer's a fun time.
Summer's a good time. And when summer ends, it just feels like in every way, you know, it's that ancient back to school feeling. It's like back to work, back to getting serious about things.
Yes. And like, I'm up for a job that I really want and I'm waiting to hear. And, you know, what will that mean? What will all of that mean to my life? Like, what does that transition look like? It's all about, I think what we're talking about last week, we were talking about reentry, and I think we're talking about transitions. You know, transitions are just, they're hard for some people. And, you know, not to be all like namby-pamby, but, you know, this is all about like change and, you know, passage of time and thing, you know, just adjusting. It's a lot of adapting and adjusting.
It is a lot of adapting and adjusting. I've been thinking about that a lot because I've been thinking about my mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fact, you know, someone said to me the other day, because I was talking about my mom and the, you know, the challenges that, you know, we face as all mothers and daughters do.
Yes.
And they said, well, this is the time when you start taking care of your parent. You stop being parented and you start taking care, which, you know, it's not a new concept, but kind of hit me. I was ready to hear it in that moment.
You know,
and that's a transition that I find scary.
Yeah.
Scary, not because of anything having to do with the actual caring, but because of what it means, because of what it's a transition to.
Yeah. And I mean, this can't stop the clock.
No.
Can't stop the clock. So it is just constantly like, I didn't get this tattoo, obviously, but I've thought about in the past, like getting a tattoo that just says adapt on my wrist, because that's all this is about. Just adaptation.
It is radical acceptance.
Yeah.
It is radical acceptance all the fucking time.
All the time. I mean, and on the parent thing, you know, I have parents who are younger than yours and so does my husband. But I've been saying, I want to move back east so that we can be around our parents before that period. I would like to know my parents and his mother, who I like very much. I would like to be around them while they're still vibrant, independent people. Because eventually, I mean, not everybody's like this, but eventually I will be in that mode of caretaking. I will be helping my siblings caretake, and I will be moving home, or, you know, at least temporarily, to do that work. And I don't want that to be the last of my relationship with my parents.
Yeah.
You know, I think about it all the time. And, you know, I mean, I'm ready to pick up and leave for the West Coast. But I mean, I have a good life here, but I don't have that. And that is something you can't get back. It's just like when I left my big corporate career, because I knew that I was only going to have so much time raising a child. Like, and I knew that I was just missing it. It was like my kid was 7 and I was like, this is going by fast.
That's what it took. And then you were like, I can't live this way anymore.
Yeah. I wound up getting fired, but I think that decision was made for me, but I was in a contract, so I couldn't leave a job. But I had had that revelation around the time my kid was 7, 8. And then I took off any sort of work that was demanding like that for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I did, because I think my relationship with my kid is better off for it. I think they're more stable. I think their mental health is better. I think a lot of things, because I think that was just the job that I had that was the most important of my jobs. You know what I mean?
Yep. Of course. God, I'm reading this book. I'm reading this book right now, Exit Interview, which I think we're going to have the author, Christy Coulter, on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we're planning that.
We are.
And she writes about having worked at Amazon. I don't know how she got away with writing this book. I'm sure she had to sign some NDA.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because she had a pretty senior management job there. But just reading the descriptions of like meetings at Amazon just like brought it all back. It just reminded me of that feeling of being like just barely above water.
Oh, totally. I mean, and the kind of water you're carrying that you don't even believe mm-hmm. in, but you have to as a manager, like you have no choice.
Yeah.
And you just, at some point, you just can't do it anymore.
No, it's funny. In her book, in Exit Interview, Amazon denies that they did this, but she's like, I did not hallucinate it. This happened. They had these meetings, and what they would do is basically this lifeboat exercise.
Okay.
Out of the people on your staff, out of the people you manage, who do you want in the lifeboat first? And they would rank the entire staff in terms of like who is the first person on the lifeboat and who like gets pushed off.
Oh God. All right. Well, we'll talk to her all about this. Oh, I can't wait to talk about it. I love talking about work. My fave topic in the world. Speaking of work, so I'm looking for a job. Alex is looking for a job. I'm just going to say we're around the same age, he and I. I actually have more jobs experience. Do you know how much easier it has been for him? Like, I just want, like, this isn't like a scientific study, but just anecdotally, how much easier it is for a man in his late 40s, early 50s versus a woman in her late 40s, early 50s to get a fucking job. Mm-hmm. I think it's real. I think
it's real too.
I think they're like, oh, an older man. Woohoo. What does he have to offer the world? So much.
Let's hear everything you have to say.
Yay. Whoa. Old lady. Crone.
Crone. I know. It's just really true.
He didn't get a ring light. Go ahead.
This brings us to the reason I'm wearing pink lipstick today.
Oh, I know what we're doing. Okay, here it is.
We're going to talk about Barbie the movie.
Okay, so you went.
I went yesterday.
Okay.
You saw it, right?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
Oh, no, I saw the movie. I didn't see that you went.
Oh, no.
Who's on first?
God.
Go ahead.
Yes, Barbie the movie. Which I have a lot of feelings about.
Okay.
It made me miss the time when I was an entertainment editor because I would go see screenings of movies before I had heard a word about them.
Yep.
It was kind of an impossible movie to see a few weeks after it was released, because it there was just so much hype and already I knew like the last line, what's the last line going to be?
Okay.
And stuff like that. I did like it. I found it depressing.
I think that's right. I couldn't wait to see it. So I went through a whole journey with it. First, I couldn't wait to see it. And then by the time all of that marketing, which good for Greta Gerwig that she got that marketing budget. But by the time all that marketing came out, I was like, oh, I don't even care. I don't want to see this. And then I was like,
I have to interrupt for one moment. Yeah. Someone told me yesterday the marketing budget for Barbie was bigger than the budget to make the movie.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure that's real.
Like not by a lot, but it was bigger.
But that being said, because that's an important part of this story. I mean, this was basically a commercial for Mattel. So when you view it through the lens of what she was able to do, what Greta Gerwig was able to pull off in a commercial for Mattel, I think that is a massive achievement. Like that's really for the first lens I want to look at it through is like, wow, this is what you decided to do with Mattel's money.
Yeah. No, I had the same thought yesterday after I saw the movie, and I saw it with Walden, my stepson, and my friend Michelle, who's younger than me by a good bit.
Yeah.
And they were both like, and I was saying like, it's kind of, you know, the fact that she got Mattel to agree to all that is cool. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Mattel agreed to it is cool.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, it's all just part of like a, you know, this trend to look like you're like, you
authentic.
Know, winking, that you're authentic and that you, and I heard that. I still thought like, I thought it was very clever. I thought the premise of the movie was very, very clever.
I thought it was very clever. I thought it did so many, like if you played with Barbies as a kid, which I was, this is important. Were you a Barbie person, Barbie kid?
I remember having Barbies. My mom tells me I didn't play with dolls very much, but I do remember having Barbies. And can we just talk about what's her name? Weird Barbie.
Oh my God. Weird Barbie is the best. I mean, the splits.
It was so perfect.
It was so perfect. And, but she got so much right about what it was as a tactile experience to play with these dolls. I thought that was really interesting how she brought that to life. And that was really smart. And it was really cool. And I think Ryan Gosling was born to play Ken. I think he was. Amazing. For me, there's still a little bit of like, okay, I mean, let's not pat ourselves on the back too much. Like, this is still a white feminist movie. This is still a movie about a gorgeous, blonde, skinny, you know.
I mean, I had that feeling when I was watching it, like this is just another summer blockbuster in the end.
Yeah, it is, ultimately.
Which is fine. I don't think that Greta Gerwig pretended she was making anything else.
No.
And good for her. She now, that movie is now the highest grossing opening weekend of any female director ever.
It's made $1 billion. Like,
it's crazy.
It's crazy. And also, look, if these are our mainstream movies, if this is the direction of mainstream movies, I'm not sad about that. And if movies start to like come back, like, and we're not just fucking making Marvel movies, like, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited that so many people are getting into movie theaters. Like, I had a hard time buying tickets for another movie last weekend. Like, I want us to be embracing movies. So I support this, and I don't think it was a harmful movie. I don't think that I think it has a little bit of like pink pussy hat, like feminism to it, you know,
A little you go girl.
It's a little you go girl, but I do think she tried. I think she did try to do some, some good things in terms of diversity of the staff, in terms of, you know, I don't think it went far enough with like, you know, anti-fat bias. I don't think it went far enough with like, you know, I think it's incredibly heteronormative. But okay, it's a commercial for Mattel. And this is what she did with it. Like, fucking hooray.
Yep. I'm very impressed by her.
I am too. And I did enjoy it, is the thing. I really did enjoy watching it. I found it to be much more pleasurable of an experience than I expected it to be.
Yeah, I had fun with it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was going to be funnier.
Yes.
You know, it seemed like they needed like Phoebe Waller-Bridge to come punch up the script with more jokes.
I think so. Or maybe the jokes have been taken out and maybe it got softened. You know, maybe the edges got softened. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, I did enjoy, like, there was a couple of things I really did enjoy when Ryan Gosling, when Ken realizes that the world is made for men, I just died over that. And also the mansplaining when they were like, just have him ask him about to explain the Godfather movies. Like, the first Pavement album. Like,
yes, that was hilarious.
I was like, this is.
Yeah. Without giving too much away, the whole premise, you know, that Barbie thinks that like in her Barbie world that like Barbie solved feminism and that like, you know, the Supreme Court is all women because in Barbie land they are. And, you know, the president is a woman and they're all women. And then they go to the real world. And like when Barbie's walking in Los Angeles, she feels threatened all of a sudden. And she's like, oh, let's go talk to some construction workers. I could use some girl energy. And she goes and there are a bunch of like, you know, guys.
Scumbags.
I felt like, you know, how she felt, like she was scared.
Yeah.
And I was like, God. And that was what I found depressing, is because that was very, very, very real.
Yes, it was very, very real. And I think it got a lot of that right.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's a very, very limited point of view of what it is to be an attractive, thin, white woman, a white heterosexual woman, you know, able-bodied heterosexual woman in this society. And I think they got that right. And that this message is going out to 1 billion people all over the world is not the worst to me.
No, I agree. I agree. A little bit of good is still good.
Exactly. Was it as subversive as it could have been? No, but maybe it was. Like, I don't know what those meetings were like. Who knows where she was trying to push it? And they were like, yeah, but remember, this is a commercial for Mattel. I mean, I was psyched to have seen it. Also, I just liked the way it was an event. You know, I liked the way people got dressed up for it. Like, I liked that. That's fun. When was the last time that happened?
No, it hasn't happened. And that was cute to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do I think this is like, you know, the next, you know, feminist manifesto? No.
Yeah. No, definitely not.
Definitely not. Let's take a quick break from some ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we're back.
Now, speaking of movies.
Go.
I was the other day, Walden's here, as I keep repeating Walden. And the other night, I was like, let's watch Shampoo. Shampoo is a great movie.
Yeah.
So we started watching it and we were like, wow, this sucks. Like, it's not a great movie. And I've been thinking a lot about that. Like, it makes me scared to watch the Mary Tyler Moore Show or the Bob Newhart Show and other things from my childhood that I'm convinced were amazing, you know? And then there was a study a while back that even if we intellectually know that the music we like in adulthood is better than the music we liked in adolescence in our youth, we will still always prefer that music from our youth.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Like, we will always think, like, even if we know it's not better, we think it's better.
That's interesting. I had a similar experience with The Breakfast Club over the weekend. I was showing
not a movie kid. I ever liked. Not a movie I ever liked.
I loved it, but that's because I was young and stupid. You know, I was like, I was 13 when that movie came out, or younger. But it was right, and of course you wouldn't have liked it because you were living that stage of your life, and that was being shown to me as what that stage of life looked like. Right,
and big kids are always impressive if you're a preteen.
Oh, totally. But yeah, it does not hold. Like, the values presented in that film are, first off, Ally Sheedy is the coolest.
I was about to say she goes from being the coolest to being like prom queen. It was horrible.
A horrible messaging. It was actually like, I was like, we turned it off in the middle. I was like, we should probably turn this off. And my kid was like, yeah, this isn't that good.
You know, Molly Ringwald actually wrote a piece in The New Yorker about The Breakfast Club and about being one of John Hughes's like muses and what it was like to actually take part in movies that she now realizes were problematic.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't see that, but yeah, I mean, it's super, there's a lot of misogyny happening. It's just messy. Like, I don't want to be like, you know, a social justice warrior, like, you know, humorless, dour, but like, it's just not that pleasurable to watch, like, men treat women like shit.
No, I mean, the movie that I used to love, 16 Candles, I find hard to watch now.
Oh,
because there's so much about that movie that is wrong.
Oh, it's that's like, I didn't even, I loved that movie. Like, that, I watched,
well, because
that
it had
movie,
the yeah. best final scene of all time.
Of all time. But, like, that movie just straight up promotes rape. Like,
it promotes rape. It is, like, very anti-Asian.
Oh, it's racist as
like
fuck.
The Asian caricatures are terrible.
Yeah, it's really a nightmare. It's unwatchable now. And, you know, I wonder, like, what is it going to be in 10 years that we still find acceptable? You know, what is that? In 10 years from now, what are we going to look back on now and be like, oh, that, why did we all like that? You know?
Yeah.
Impossible to predict. I mean, although I suspect that all our silliness with these, not silliness, I mean, that's way too light to put a light, but all this book banning, all the Florida, you can't teach psychology anymore in Florida.
In Florida, they also wanted to say that being a slave had certain advantages.
Oh, yes.
That people learned life skills while they were slaves.
Yes. Enslaved people. There were some benefits. Like, it's just wild. And the transphobia for such a small part of the population is just, it's just a distraction is what I keep saying. It's the same way, in my opinion, the same way the anti-porn feminists became obsessed with porn in the late 70s, which derailed all of the progress of the feminist movement because it fractured the movement. I really do feel like the way that we're treating trans people, trans women, it is fracturing a progressive movement for, you know, for body autonomy and equality for all. And I don't know why nobody sees this.
Also, the other side can go on about, you know, trans kids and make a fight about that. But I think we should also be focusing on the planet burning.
You think?
And when everybody's fighting over, like, no, this is what it means to me. No, this is what it means. And this is who we have to protect. And no, we don't have to protect them. You're not thinking about the fact that the planet's burning.
No, you're not. And, you know, listen. I am no Chris Christie fan, okay? Like, but I heard Chris Christie interviewed on Pod Save America of all things. And, like, let's just say caveat, I know that Chris Christie has done, like, all kinds of, like, terrible, gross things, like, including, like, you know, holding Trump's coat and everything else he did. However, he sounded like such a reasonable person in this interview. Like, they were asking him about trans rights and he was like, I think it's up to parents. Nobody knows their kid better than a parent knows their kid. It should be up to parents and doctors. And he had these very, like, common sense answers to all of these hot button social issues. And it brought me back to a moment when we used to have at least a semi-reasonable discourse.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't used to be this wildly extreme. I am not a Republican, but there were Republicans that I could be like, okay, well, that's not the worst person in the world. I don't like his politics, but this isn't a you know, fiery nightmare.
Yeah. No, it really has become that way. It really has become so polarized.
Yeah, polarized, but silly, ridiculous.
Like, there were, I was watching, what was that show, Miss America, that was about, Phyllis Schlafly.
Yes.
There were, like, Republicans who were working, you know, across the aisle to get the ERA passed.
Yes.
Like, that shit never happens anymore.
No.
You know, or happens exceedingly rarely. It's, you know, it was a nice thing about being in Europe, I gotta say, being like sampling cultures that take a little, you know, I mean, I know it's not, you know, it's not like England didn't go through what we went through.
No, it's not like it's a utopia over there, but it doesn't feel like where you're just like, but wait, that's not true. And someone's like, well, but I have alternative facts. And you're like, no, but that's not how facts work. Like, that's where we are. Like,
it does seem like we are where we are because we have a lot more stupid people.
Or we just have a lot more people that just really want to believe something that goes against their best interests. I mean, you know, I'm not smart enough to get into like a very deep political debate, but I think we can agree that the things that we're debating and focused on in this country are not the things that are the most important to making everybody's lives better on a day-to-day yep. basis. So, I mean, that's where I'm at, including like, I guess we'll just let these people just become evil, rich villains, like billionaire. Like, this is wild to me. Whenever I look at Elon Musk, I'm like, how has anybody else seen movies? Like, this is
like, it's kind of delightful to watch now. I mean, taking one of the most recognized, you know, logos of, you know, definitely the 21st century, the Twitter bird, and getting rid of it.
But he's Lex Luthor. He owns space. Yes. Like, he has all these rockets in space. Nobody's even talking about this. He just has like, he's covered the whole globe in his rockets. Like, this is not, we need a superhero to go in and turn off the button. Like, I can't.
No, it is a little Lex Luthor.
It is.
Oh my God.
And now I'm like rooting for like Mark Zuckerberg to win in their cage match. Like, what is happening?
I know.
It's so upsetting. All right, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about somebody asked what kind of sneakers we both love. Tell me.
I have these Adidas Sambas.
Okay.
Which are like three-stripe Adidas. They're kind of old school, and they don't make them anymore. I bought them about 3 or 4 years ago, and they don't make them anymore, and now a new pair of them can sell for thousands of dollars on these sneaker sites.
Oh, wow. I had Sambas at one point. I like them.
I think they're super cool. I understand they're overplayed according to sneaker heads, but I don't care because why would I care?
Who cares? I'm not a sneakerhead. Ew. I have my favorite sneakers are, I like Vejas.
Veja.
I like Vejas. I think they're super cute. I really like the classic white Reebok from the 80s, just like the white, except I get them in a little bit of an off-white tone. I started mm-hmm. wearing them and I loved the way they looked with like a pair of jeans and a button down. I was really into that. And then for running and hiking, I have a Saucony.
I don't know how you say that. Saucony. I don't know.
Yeah, not. Exactly. Me neither. Is it French? I don't know. anyway, I have Saucony's PW Run, which I like a lot for hiking. They give a lot of good support and are good sneakers for hiking in, but not cute. Like, not a cute sneaker at all. I find it hard to find utility and cute.
It's true. Those Hoka sneakers are supposed to be amazing, but they're the ugliest things I've ever seen.
That is the look. That, I mean, I guess you wear them with your giant jeans. And a crop top. That would be a look that I'm not interested in, but is a look.
Yeah, no, the crop top, the massive jeans, the massive blazer.
Yeah,
and the big sneakers. Yeah, I know. I just saw a picture of Justin Bieber and Hailey Bieber, his wife.
Yes.
And they were both like walking down the street and they were wearing such oversized clothes that they looked like they were in costume.
It is a thing. It is the oversized blazer thing is so funny. It looks like those like stock photos of babies in suits. You know?
Yes. Oh my God, that's so perfect. Oh my God, that is so perfect.
It's a lot. And I'm not willing to cosplay like that anymore. Like, that's not a zone I can be in. Cosplay as baby. You know? No, thank you. Okay. Another question from readers. I'm just like, I kind of jotted them down, so I'm just going to read them. Unless you have something else on your list before I do these, do you have more things?
Oh no, the list is done.
Okay, good. I thought it was. I thought we had exhausted list. I was like, we can't talk this week because I have nothing to say, but this is working. Okay. Something new that you've tried for the first time. Wait, and there's another part of this. What new activity have you tried, or is there something you've done for the first time? Not bucket list nonsense. It could be anything. I'm interested in the cool shit women in their 50s are doing.
Well, I would say touring with a bunch of teenagers across America and Europe is a thing I hadn't done before that I've now done.
I think that's a cool thing. A couple of years ago when I was feeling very lost, took up woodworking. And I learned to make a spoon, a bowl, and a chair.
Amazing.
I did some woodworking and of course my weaving, which I had a real disaster. I fucked up at the very end of this like beautiful tapestry I had made, and I fucked up at the end and I couldn't get it off the loom because I had set up the loom wrong. It's confusing. Anyway, ruined the whole thing. And then I've been really sad about it since. So I haven't gotten back on the loom, but I will soon. So those are,
yes, I really like thinking about you on the loom.
I like being on a loom. And then, you know, I have a friend who started running and she's like now able to run 10 minutes, which is, I know that's not a lot, but that is, I can't imagine running for 10 minutes.
No, I can't either.
And she started like 6 months ago and she's on, I forget what app she's on, but she has like a special program. And she was telling me like just how much better her heart rate has been. And I mean, we keep talking about this. We talk about this like every 3 months and then we're like, oh, fuck it. There is like a fitness journey for me. I just have not found like the beginning of the path.
Yeah.
The trailhead. I haven't found the trailhead yet for where my exercise will go, but.
Yeah. Well, my shitty knees make it hard for me to know what my exercise journey is going to be. I've often been very intrigued by running. I like the fact that you can do it anywhere.
Yeah.
Doesn't really require equipment. But yeah, hell on your knees.
Yeah, it is. It is hell on your knees. What's not hell on your knees?
Swimming. Swimming is the big one.
Are you by the Y?
I don't know.
Isn't there a Y on 9th Avenue in Brooklyn? Did I make
that
up?
It sounds like there could be. I don't know. I was a member of the Y when I lived on the Lower East Side and I never went.
Yeah.
I get grossed out by big public pools.
Yeah. Yeah. You really do have to. Yeah. No, I hear you. It's a lot of bacteria, the wet floor. Yeah. It's skeeve.
Just like people are blowing their noses into the water all day.
Yeah. I mean, you really have to like suspend germophobia for all like public fitness places.
It's true. It's true. They just opened a Chelsea Piers gym a couple blocks from me.
Okay.
And I was like, am I even going to do that? Am I even going to go through the song and dance of pretending that I'm a gym person?
Well, let me tell you something. I bought that Exercycle and I was looking over it the other day and it had a pink Barbie tie and my kid's pink Barbie suit coat on it. And I was like, oh, well, it's come to its final form.
It could have been predicted. But maybe it sort of was, but there it is.
And I still did it because I was like, not this time. I, of course not. I will be different than I've ever been before. Okay. Another listener question. What do you think it will take for Everything Is Fine to become a podcast for women over 50? I'm not interested in that. I think that's mean. I'm not interested in that.
I think it's forgetting how people feel when they turn 40.
Yeah.
It's that thing where like we've had people say to us, oh, you think 59 is bad. You think 50 is bad. Wait till you get to where we are. You're going to wish you never complained about those things. And that seems very unfair, as we have discussed, because you have no fucking context. How are you supposed to? I mean, you only know what you know. You can't know that in 10 years it's going to be worse. And who wants to focus on that anyway?
I'm not interested in that. I mean, we have a lot of younger listeners. Hi, younger listeners. I'm so happy to have them because we're giving them a model for what it is to age. And particularly once you turn 40 is when things start ramping up. Whatever you may say that it happens later in life, like you're in your 60s and you're saying, well, you don't know what it is. You just wait. The thing is, in your 40s, you just start to change and it's really scary. And one of the goals for me of this podcast is to sort of demystify this entire process, which is why I talk so openly about my body, my mental health, my periods. Like I talk about very, and you do too, we talk about very, and sex, we talk about very personal things to model and normalize this for everyone, because it's scary. And if we cut people, if we keep going, if we go to 50, what, in 5 years, are we going to go to 60? Now we're a podcast for women over 80? Like, no way. We have to be inclusive. We're all in this together. And there's a lot to give to younger people. Like, we don't need to be in our own, like, oh, older lady hole.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've been very inspired by how many younger people who this podcast is not aimed at, who listen to it. And I wonder sometimes, like, you know, I just think it's so cool, because you never hear about women wanting to associate with anything that has to do with being older than they are. And I'm wondering if these older women have the same curiosity about these younger women's lives.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I'm interested. I mean, I'll tell you, 40 feels to me right now like a baby. I can't believe I was even considering it. But also, I was thinking about, and we've talked about this kind of thing before, but I was thinking about, like, big decisions I made at 38 and how little I knew myself at 38. Just really, like almost like a zygote, like embryonic brain, like just not, I didn't know what I was doing because I didn't know myself yet. And I want to help people like that. You know, that's as important to me about this podcast as it being a place where we can relate to each other.
Yep. Well put.
So that's not going to be a podcast. I mean, I'm still, nobody agrees with this. I'm still like, it should be, you know, for women and non-binary people over 40, but you know, I'll throw that away for now. Okay. What else? Oh, I have some recommendations.
Oh, good.
I watched a show called Fisk.
Fisk.
It sounds like a really weird, it's F-I-S-K. And it is an Australian show about a, I guess she's like, she practices estate law. A woman in her late 40s who practices estate law is going through like an ugly divorce. And it's basically about, like, you know, all of the things that come up in end of life when people are like fighting over someone's estate. I think it might be probate. I don't know. There's some like law term. But anyway, it's a comedy and it's set in Australia. And it's, this woman is super winning. And it's also about like the transitions and, you know, she's having to live in an Airbnb because she left her husband and go back to work. And it's a workplace comedy, but it's also just about like being a middle-aged lady. I think it's really funny and winning. And it's only 6 episodes and it's just like a very dry humor, but I liked it a lot.
Where did you stream it?
Oh, Netflix. It was free.
Awesome. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. I don't think I have any other. There's a Jane Birkin documentary that I haven't watched yet that I want to watch. It's Jane Birkin by her daughter. It's a documentary about Jane Birkin's life made and including her daughter, Charlotte Gainsbourg. And that looks amazing to me. And I really would like to see that. We haven't talked about her death. I was sad about that.
Yeah, I was sad about that. I have a friend who was very into her, you know, and I jokingly wrote her a text that said, my condolences on the death of Jane Birkin. And she just wrote back, thank you.
No.
Like, I think it really, really got some people.
A lot of people dying this summer. Just a lot of people dying. I was thinking about Tony Bennett. It was all happening so fast. I didn't even like absorb the fact that Tony Bennett is not on the planet anymore.
I know. But he lived into his 90s. He had a nice long life.
I know. That is always better. It is always better when it's like, okay, well, that was at least a night. Like, he had like a fourth and fifth act. So it does.
Yeah, he really did. He really did. Who else died? That kid from Euphoria, which was very sad.
Oh my God. That was so sad. I forget his last name. Angus something. That
Angus
was so
McLeod or something.
He was so amazing on that show. God.
That was terrible. Sandra Bullock's boyfriend died. Like, there are just a lot of people are dying.
I know. It's a weird death summer.
Well, summer always gets funky in August. That's the thing, is that like, I'm always really sad when summer ends, but August gets really weird.
Yeah, August is like there's like a Son of Sam vibe in August. There just is. There's just always that Son of Sam Paul on August. And because everybody knows that the summer is almost over. It's hot as shit. It's just, So it's on that delightful note.
No, we can do better.
Okay.
Okay. I think you look great today.
Stop. Well, that's because I need a hair color so bad, but my roots dye is so good. My like roots spray cover up the gray is so excellent that it stays for days and it really looks real, doesn't it? Doesn't it look like I have brown roots?
Yep, it does.
Yeah, I really found a solution to the problem. Like after I blow dry my hair on the first day after washing it, I spray the roots spray on my hair and it extends my color for weeks.
Amazing.
I know. It's
amazing. And look, that's a happy note to end on.
That's a totally happy note to end on. I mean, I'm not even going to get into my mustache. I'll save it until next week. We did it. Sorry. These are our summer episodes, everybody. Thanks for listening to Everything Is Fine. We're your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it on all the platforms, particularly Apple Podcasts. It really helps people find the show. It really makes a difference. We read 5-star reviews sometimes on the show. If you want to support the production of the show and keep the show's lights on, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/everythingisfine. We do live events there. We will do a live event there in August. We just need to come up with a date. We blog there. We release special episodes there. If you want to follow us on social media, we're at EIF Podcast on Instagram. We have a robust and private Facebook group. You can find Kim on her Substack, kimfrance.substack.com. It's called Girls of a Certain Age. You can find me on Patreon this month, although I do also have a newsletter, which is tinyletter.com/Jennifer Romolini. The show is mixed and edited by the wonderful Natalie Rivera. We couldn't do it without you, Natalie.
Yay, Natalie.
Yay, and we'll be back next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.